Imagine a space for South Asian women where stories are not just told, but actually felt. This is Rue, Rising Over Obstacles and Healing, brought to you by Jyoti and Monica, two friends who set out to carve a little space and make a difference by sharing stories and fostering healing and strength within our community. We invite you to listen and reflect, finding your own path one story at a time. And just for sticking around, there's a golden biscuit at the end of each episode. Today, we're going to take you back in time, back to the late 1990s and early 2000s, when love was forbidden in South Asian families. But it sure had the power to conquer all. Our guest today is someone we admire greatly. She's lived through it all and is here to share how a teenage crush turned into a lifelong marriage. Let's welcome this sweet guest of ours.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sonia, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, a little bit of background. I was born and raised in the U.S. on the East Coast. I lived with my parents, my mom, dad, and my younger sister. We lived in an area where there was more an American community than a South Asian community. We used to go to Gurdwara, and then that's where we meet everyone from our own culture. But it was like family because everybody knew each other from since we were born and everything. So everybody basically was your brother or your sister there. Older brother, older sister, younger sister. So, I mean, it was a tight-knit community. My parents were hardworking, a typical Desi parents working. And me and my sister used to get up, go to school, come home, do our homework, watch TV, and then go to sleep. And we would see one parent at one time, the other parent at the other time, because it was opposite shifts and all of that, stories. Basically, on our free time, we would watch TV, or we would play outside, or, play with the kids in the neighborhood. And that was it. There was no social media, no any other types of forms of entertainment. As I got older, you go through adolescence and then you go to your preteens and then, your body is changing, your hormones and everything. So you feel that some type of way. It's hard to explain now because nowadays everything is on TV. Everything is everywhere, in your faces, on billboards, everywhere. Now they make it so much easier, so blunt that this is normal. But growing up in a typical Desi family, this was not normal of having any type of feelings for another person, special feelings. None of these feelings come now. These feelings come when you're married. that's the only time you can feel anything for anybody.
Yeah, especially back then as South Asians, it was you were not even allowed to have any feelings like that whatsoever.
Especially at that time, you couldn't to speak to someone of the opposite sex. It was what's going on? What? And then all the aunties, they're all their antennas would go high. What's going on here?
Yeah. You were under the scrutiny of everyone, basically. So amidst all this, how did you meet your husband?
So we were invited to a family friend's birthday party. We traveled about 100 miles to the city area. And then at the party, there was a guy there. And through the night, he was looking at me, winking at me. And I was what's going on here? Right. And I'm looking is anybody looking at this? Is any auntie or uncle watching me? It was just...
It's thrilling, though, at the same time.
Yes, it was mesmerizing, wow, all this attention. And you never had it because we've never went to a party outside of the community, I guess. So there were so many different people. When you're at your own family parties, it's everybody and no one would do that. They'd be oh, you're a dork.
Yeah, because you're surrounded by your brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sitting in the corner. With my parents and my sister. And I just, you just know someone's staring at you, right? Through the whole room. I just kept on noticing that, oh my God, right? So then I don't know what was happening to me too. I was wow, this is interesting. But I would never do anything or say anything, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't act out on those feelings.
No way, right? But again, I'm the adventurous type. So him and his friend were DJing the party also. So, like, you know, they kept on playing the music, and then he played Ace of Base, and it was so funny because I'm like, oh my God, like, I really like their song.
Was it,
right?
A sign? Did you see the sign?
Yeah. I was like, wow, you know, like DJs never used to play like American music. They would always play like the Desi music, right? Mm. So like that was just like the interesting and everything. So after the party, he came up to me. My mom was next to me and I handed my mom a card. And I'm like, what is this card? Right. And yeah. It was a construction card. And I'm like, why is he giving me a construction card? And then on the back, it says something in Punjabi. And I'm like, dude, I don't know how to read Punjabi. I don't know what, like, you know, and then.
Yeah.
And my mom goes, nee, nee, sanu a card nahi chahida. Sanu DJ wala card chahida. And he's like, nee, oh, hanika. Right. Oh, then he doesn't have the, like, she asks for the DJ card. And then. Yeah. He's like, no, I have this one. And she's like, nee, nee, ani saida. And she returned it back to him. So a few days were going by and I'm like thinking. And I'm like, yeah, I couldn't get him out of my mind. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, like, why didn't mom take the card? I could have just checked the number. Maybe it was something, or I don't know. Right. So then I was like thinking. And then finally I was like, oh, let me call the police and ask them that who was the DJ. And so that we were having like an event, so I can call them and that I could hire that DJ. So I called the venue.
It's a smart move.
I called the venue. I didn't even know that the guy was like an uncle too, like that we knew. So he was probably, he was like, who is this person? Like he knew everybody that came to the event. So anyways, but he did give me the number. We didn't have cell phones back then. I think there were only beepers, so no cell phone. So it was the house number. So I called the house number and no one picked up. So then I'm like, okay, whatever, forget about it. So then about, I think the next day, I think I tried in the evening and he picked up. And then when he picked up, we were talking and I had to do a whole test on him. Are you the same person? Right? So like then, yes. Then he said, yes. Like everything he, like I asked him and he said, yes. Right to it. And then I asked him that, oh, who am I? Right? Like if I'm calling you. And he was like that he knew that I was wearing a black suit. So mm-hmm. He's like, oh, the girl that was wearing the black suit. And I was like, well, there were two girls there that were wearing a black suit that I had to do even more investigation because I'm like, no, what if he's like a player or something that he's just trying to do it with trying to hit on both of the girls that were wearing the black suits.
Yeah.
So no, but he got it right. And he's like, no, the one with the very, very short hair. And I'm like, okay, fine, Tika. Mm-hmm. Now.
So you confirmed. Yes.
Everything was confirmed. And then he had the audacity to say, oh, minu ta lagda si tusi donne tusi sari family huni aayi India to. I'm like, bro, I'm not that desi that I look like I just came from India.
Yeah, here you were dancing to Ace of Base, right?
Yes. Oh, I would never forget that. I was like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, I have such short hair. You think some girl from India should probably have a gutta, like, right? And you're telling me. So then I was so triggered by that. I'm like, oh my God, who is this person? Like,
but you continued.
Yes.
Okay.
So then we just talked on the phone and everything. And then he was just so adamant that he needed to come and see me, right? So then we just set up a time and then I didn't know I have never done this before. I have no idea anything. And the first thing that came out of my mouth, oh, let's meet at the Gurdwara. Wow.
Smart move.
Oh, yeah. I really needed to get some lessons on this. I didn't know anything. And so, I guess the next weekend or the 2 weekends after he showed up at the Gurdwara. And then, oh, my God. Again, obviously, you're coming to a new place. The Gurdwara knows every single human that comes into the Gurdwara. And he brought his friend. These two guys show up, all dressed up, like, nice, like, with, like, Jordans and everything. No, like, at that time, like, those were, like, wow, look at the sneakers. Because we all had, like, the Kmart sneakers or whatever. Like, you know, like, they had such nice clothes and nice everything. And they come in and they have those the Ramals were the bandana Ramals, right? And everybody's staring at them, mm-hmm. right? So I'm like, oh, my God, this was such a bad move. Like, I made it even more highlighted them in the Gurdwara, like, right? Yeah. So then I'm like, oh, what am I supposed to do now? So then in the langar, when we all go down, I just start serving the kheer to everybody during seva. And I'm like, oh, this is maybe I could talk to him by giving him the kheer.
Oh my God.
So stupid, right?
Well, it wasn't stupid. I think, you know, you're naive, you're a teenager. And like you said, that was your social place, yeah. Right? Where you went to. So it was the first thing that came to your mind. And it was a public place too, where you could safely go to. And you just thought, you know, he'll just blend in with, I guess, the general public. But
No. I was so funny. So then basically I had to tell one of the little kids to give them a message that like, okay, just follow us, right? So then I got one of my friends with me. I got in the car and then I told my mom that we just have to go to the store. Like, and then there was like a small park place behind the Gurdwara, like a few blocks down.
Mm-hmm.
So and then we just met and then like, you know, it was so awkward because like it was just like on the phone we used to talk and I'm like, what is going on? Everything was just like so racing and like it's really physically your body races. Like it's like your brain and your heart and you don't know what's going on and you're just like,
It's that adrenaline rush, right? Like you're happy to see this person you've been speaking to, but then on the back of mind, you're also like, well, I'm here with my family. What if someone sees us?
Which actually, you know what? Actually, you used to kind of add to the excitement a little bit.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Like it was like the adrenaline rush, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So this is how your love story started. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, things are not that easy, especially in our culture and especially at that time. So what challenges did you face at that point then?
Oh, okay. So then after that, it all came crashing down. So after that meeting, he just told me that he said that, oh, you're the one for me. That's it. You're my wife. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, all right, I'll go with it. Like, you know, because you're like such a dinky wink, you go with it. You're like, okay, yeah, sure. Right. Like, yeah, you're the one. And so many compliments. Like, you don't get this from anybody. Like, you've never heard this before. Oh, you're so mm-hmm. pretty. You're so nice. Oh, my God. Like, I can't live without you. All that stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So after that was over, like, okay, like we left and everything and then just phone calls. And then I had to like walk always like 2-3 blocks to the payphone to call him and all this. And it was just like a thing. So somehow my parents find out because someone tattletaled, like some mm-hmm. uncle found out and told them.
Of course.
Them.
I mean, that's that, you know, you were under the scrutiny of everybody at that time. So not surprising there.
So he called my dad and my dad's like, oh, like I was just like dead, right? Like they were like gonna murder me. And so they just found out. And then I was just like under more strict rules. Like before I was able to, like, you know, they wouldn't ask that much, but now they would be asking. So it was getting harder and harder to see him. And then I just, you know, wouldn't stop. Like I would just like skip school and they would get a phone call that I wasn't in, you know, third period. So then they would yell at me. And then you become so deep, what is that called? Like stubborn?
Stubborn,
right?
Yeah.
You just like, I don't care anymore, right? Like, because mm-hmm. you're so much in love with this person that you don't care. Like, you don't care what the consequences are going to be or anything.
Yeah, and you're 16 years old. It's not like you have great decision-making skills at that point. You
not
haven't
at all.
developed those yet. And the other thing is, you can't go to your parents and ask them for advice because that's a big no-no, you know?
Yeah.
So what's a girl supposed to do? But I'm guessing, you know, things kind of, as difficult as they got, things sort of worked out because you did end up getting married.
Oh, yes.
And then what was it like at that point? Once you got married, here you are, you went from being 16 in love, and then now you're a married woman.
Oh, it was a very hard path, like to get to that point with mom and dad and my, you know, my uncles and aunts and everybody that was involved in it. Right. I had absolutely no one. My sister is like about 4 years younger than me. So that didn't click, like nothing, like she wouldn't understand. My older cousins, like no way they were going to be a part of this. Like they didn't want to get beat up. Keeping any of my secrets or anything like that. So no way, right? So like, you know, it was just so hard. Then finally they were like, oh, ene ta hatna hi nahi kudi ne, eta sandi besti kar rahi hai, sare log ka nu pata lag jana wa. So fir eda viajkardo, rando viajkardo. So like all my family all over the world were calling my parents and telling them, no, just viajkardo, viajkardo. Inini hartana, inini the sadi besi kartia, this and that. Like I was just like the black sheep of the whole entire family, from my nanka side, from my dadka side. Like no one wanted anything to do with me. So then finally they said, okay, fine, just marry her off. I had a very small wedding, like very, very small, like from my side. But my husband's side came, oh, wow, they came like, oh, panda, they panda, like 500 people at the wedding.
Wow.
Yeah, even my best friends, like they were the only two ones that were invited, like because they weren't Punjabi.
Okay. So your parents are trying to keep a hush hush, and then your husband's side, it's like 500 people show up to the wedding.
Yeah. So, okay. So it was fine. Everything, like, you know, the wedding happened.
All right. So your parents find out about this person that you're dating and you're in love with, and, you know, you're clearly not ready to let go. So the solution they come up with is just to have you married, right? Quickly hide this from everyone as much as they can, make it look like, you know, it's something good that happened. And you, I'm assuming, said yes to this marriage as well, because now you get to be with this person all the time. There's no hiding or anything. But how was it to be rushed into a marriage as a teenager and that transition into married life at such a young age?
It was so exciting and thrilling, but the reality didn't hit. Now this is part two now. So now the reality hits you. I'm getting married to the love of my life. The only person I've ever been with, loved, cherished, everything. Like, he's my whole life. I get married into him, his family. It's a joint family. I'm basically 17 going on to 18, right? Like, within a month, it was my birthday. And reality hits. He has to now, you know, support the family. And I'm just at home. Like, you know, not doing anything because I'm like, I don't know what, I just moved from a different place to a different, like, you know, house, home, like 100 miles away from my, like what I'm used to, what I know. And it's a joint family. So I'm living with my in-laws, like my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, their two kids. And it's such a total like flip. Everything is fine with me and my husband, but outside things like were really hard. I didn't know that what I was expected of me, that I'm supposed to be like what, of a housewife, like come on, like, you know, I'm like a teenager, like I don't know any of that stuff, right? Like, oh, am I expected to cook, clean, like feed the whole family, do it? It was just like such a weird kind of situation. And then like right after that, I'm pregnant and I have now a baby is born, and then now I'm like a mom. So immediately from getting married into a joint family, taking up all that responsibility, and then becoming a mother and being away from the only people that I knew were my family, my mom and dad and my sister, I'm no longer like with them either. Like, it's just a whole flip. Within 1 year, my whole life flipped.
And of course, you were so young that you probably weren't even aware of the realities of life. Right? Because
no, nothing.
All the hormones that were racing, all the those special feelings you had, you know, these were all great. And you probably anticipated for it to just continue and to last. But then now here's the wake up call. You have to deal with the joint family and you have a baby now. That must have been very challenging.
Yeah, no, it was very hard. Like that, I felt that everybody was like ashamed of me, like even my in-laws, like I thought like maybe they're, because they had like almost like a teenage daughter also. Maybe they're thinking that I'm putting a bad example on her or whatever. Like, it was just like all these things racing into my mind, all this guilt and all this stuff that, oh my God, like no one looks at me at the same way. Like, you know, I'm not a child anymore. I'm an adult now. They're looking at me differently. It was like so many things that were happening. But I can just say one thing is that my personality and the way I am, I'm very strong. Like, I don't, like these things don't bother me. They do affect me, but they don't bother me. Like, yes, I do realize them. Yes, I do understand that this is someone's feelings, but I won't be like, oh, in depression and like not getting out of bed and not functioning because these people are saying these things about me. I think I'm a little bit stronger in that way. And the best thing, the only thing that I can say is that my husband was my rock. He was my everything. He was my friend, my best friend, my everything, my mom, my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my everything. Like, you know, like he understood anything and everything I said to him. It was never ever in my mind I felt that he ever degraded me or he ever said anything to me that I didn't know how to do anything. Or I've never had that feeling. Until this day, I've never had that feeling. And so those were the hardships. Mm-hmm. But we worked as a team, both of us. We supported each other. We motivated each other. And yes, there were times that I was left alone only with my son and raising him like by myself 16 hours a day because my husband had to work so hard like to provide for the family and to get out of the situation and not living in a joint family because he wanted to make me happy. He wanted me to have like my own space and everything and he wanted to succeed. So he had to work very, very hard for that. So he ran the business and I took care of the household and we accomplished a lot of things. Mm-hmm. At the age of 21, I became a homeowner. We had our home together.
Yeah, so you were at the age of 21, you were a mom and you were a homeowner, which is amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Nowadays, ask these kids, they'll be like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Because nowadays, a 21-year-old, I feel like, still has to be spoon-fed. You know,
you ask me. I have a 21-year-old. So, yeah.
So were there ever any moments when you doubted any of it, or did you ever think about any what ifs?
The only what if I think about is that if my parents did not like pressure me into getting married, maybe letting me, you know, continue my education and continue letting me date, because I see it in my own son now that he's been in a relationship since high school. It's been 8 years. And so, you know, they learn about each other. They get to grow. They get to experience a lot of things. It's just that I didn't have all of that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just thinking that instead of pressuring the child into marriage and putting so much more additional stress on them, that maybe be a little bit more understanding in it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, I would never, ever take it back. Like whatever it is, it is. But I'm just saying that we shouldn't put this much stress or pressure on children, especially in their relationships, because it's their freedom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To choose and to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that pressure comes from society more, right? I feel like your parents or family were more worried about what others would say.
Yeah, because it's always about looking again. You know, forget what your children need or how they feel. It's let's act as a family based on looking again. You know, it would have been nice if you had the time to really get to know your husband. You're lucky that he turned out to be the gem of a person that he is. But I can't help but wonder, what if it was someone who wasn't trustworthy? When you're 16, 17, you don't have those decision-making skills. You don't have the ability to really understand what life entails and all the ups and downs that you go through. I'm so thankful that you chose well at that age. Knowingly or unknowingly, you chose very well. However, a little bit of this responsibility falls on the parents. It's important to understand that at the forefront of the parents' decision making should be the well-being of their child. So often, South Asian families, what we end up doing is thinking about lokikigang. What will people say? And I think that was a huge factor in when your parents just said, we're going to get you married. You're marrying this guy. It's great that they let you marry the love of your life. However, were you equipped, fully equipped to make that decision and to be a married person? Maybe not, right? And this is something that we can say now, having grown up and looking back at things. However, I do have to say, parents have to be responsible. You have to put the well-being of your child first. And, you know, forget about what lokiki can get. I first of all, I don't even know who these loki are. Like, if they're your well-wishers and they're your true family and friends, then they would be concerned with your well-being first and foremost and not saying things, right? In an ideal world. But we all know it's not an ideal world. Anyway, I digress. What I want to ask, I know you've been through so much, Sonia. What would your advice be to a young woman today, especially someone who is from a strict cultural background?
I would say that take your time. Mm-hmm. Time is the best gift that we've been given, and we should take full advantage of it. We always take it for granted, but time really, like, this time means in anything. It can mean in, like, grieving something. It can mean in wanting something. Time is the most precious thing. Don't rush into love or marriage just because of pressure.
Yeah.
For example, my Taiji said, like, she just went to India and she said to my son, oh, hun sanu vyata da khade jaan lag gaya nu, like, pata nahi sada time kinna reh gaya. No, bro. He's not going to be showing you a vya, because I understand it's a loving feeling that they want to see him married and all this, right? But it's his decision, right, to make. I would never want to put that pressure on somebody that, oh, do this because this is happening, get married. No, it's at your own time, at your own pace, you should do it. Never, ever be rushed into it.
Yeah, I think you bring up such a good point, because we harmlessly say so many things like that in the South Asian culture, you know, it's and we don't even think twice before saying it, like, oh, I want to see grandkids before mm-hmm. I die. I want to see, you know, like, we say these things. And yeah, then
it's nothing bad, but it just that sometimes it depends on the other person's, like, you know, personality and thinking. Sometimes they do take it to heart.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes kids do take, oh, my mom said this or my dad said this, and you never know. And we don't want to be the cause of anything. We want them to experience life, like everybody to experience every moment of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, now we're older and we realize that you don't have that. This is a luxury. Mm-hmm. And, like, you don't know when it's going to be taken away from you.
Yeah.
So we should all be honored and never, ever think about what other people are going to say. Because who are these other people, like you said?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Basically, don't let, you know, gossip or judgment of others stop you. Like, if you find someone that's worth standing by through everything, go for it.
Yes, absolutely. Take your time. There should be no pressure. If parents are listening to this, understand your children, understand their feelings. And, you know, I also am a parent now. My children are grown. It's been 29 years since my love story started. And I've learned so goddamn much, sorry to say, because it's like the bad and the good, it's so much. But every day I'm still learning. The biggest thing I've learned is that life does not go the way you want it to go. It's going to take its turns, and it's going to take its mountains that you have to
climb
to get to a moment of happiness. But it's just like pal pal de moment hundeya, not like forever. Like, you're happy. Like, there's sad, there's happy, there's, you know, you're mad, you're a lot of things. But the children should just, like, you should really listen to them.
Yeah.
And see what their feelings are. And sometimes it's like you have to be strong too as a parent, because even your kids don't know their feelings.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they're learning too. They're getting older too. It's okay if they made this decision, but they don't want to stick with this decision. They want to change it. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Having that safe space, basically, where your children feel comfortable coming to you, talking to you, discussing their issues, and then just being there and being non-judgmental and really trying to understand their perspective, their feelings, and being there to just not only listen, but then also let them make their own decisions, ask the kind of questions that they have to answer, where so that they're fully prepared, so that they Correct. Know, okay, the reason this question is coming at me is not because my parents are questioning my decisions or my parents are going to judge me, but simply because this is a question my parents have because they want my well-being to be first and foremost, and they just need answers to this question.
That's absolutely right. If anybody takes anything away from this, it's just to be very patient with your children and understand them as much as possible. the audience now that's listening to this, like, it could be a parent from the past, like our childhood. It could be a future parent to be, or a parent that's going through it right now. But to all of you, just understand that, like, you know, you have to not listen to society and listen to your kids, because that is your product. That is what you are responsible for. And that is what you've created. And that is the most important thing in your life, not other people and other like noise in the background. That's nothing to do with it. It just loki ki koge, leave it. Leave it alone.
Exactly. Exactly. That's very well said. And we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your perspective. The story that you told us, absolutely beautiful. I wish and I really hope that love like yours exists, and that there are men out there who are like your husband, and women like you who were willing to really work hard and understand what it takes to have a successful marriage and be a good example for their kids. What would you say the golden biscuit of today be?
What I would like the listeners to take away from today is, I think my parents did raise me good. Like, there's nothing that I would say that they like did not. It was just like the society pressure of loki ki koge. That's mm-hmm. the basis of all of this. Maybe if I spoke to them now about this, maybe they would have said that, oh no, we would have let you date it, and you would have been to college, and you know, then you would have a huge wedding. Instead of 500, it'll be 1,000 people. But I'm just saying that just listen, man. That's the biggest thing I would say, is that listen and understand.
So parents should be your support group.
Yes.
Instead of someone dictating you how you should live your life. You
feel? Yeah. I mean, yeah. And especially a mom, like a mother, mm-hmm. like I just can't live thinking that my child is in pain. If I could do anything to take it away, I would do it in a heartbeat. I just don't understand why other parents don't see that. And they just see loki ki koge, like what other people are going to say. But they don't see the pain that your child is going through, or what misunderstandings are being created because you're not listening to the child. That's basically what I think that everybody should, you know, get out of this, is that please, I think the best thing is to have you both ears open and listen to them.
So I would say, if we were to sum it all up, the golden biscuit is, forget what loki ki kenge and put your children first. First and foremost, always.
Always.
Well, thank you so much, Sonia, for coming on and sharing your story. I know that listeners will walk away feeling hopeful and empowered and have a few chuckles along the way listening to this. Thank you for listening to Rue. We appreciate you joining us as we cultivate a community of strong, empowered women, one story at a time. If you or someone you know has a story you'd like to share, please contact us at ruedaraz@gmail.com. That's ruedaraz@gmail.com. Also, do us a favor and please share this podcast with your sisters, your mom, your friends, aunties, your eyebrow lady, like any lady you know. You know, you get the idea. Till next time, kush raho, be well.